I'm going to assume DAI stands for Dogs After Italians.
Yes.
Yes.
There is no coming back from that.
Welcome to Rated NA, the podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. This is episode number 179, and I am your host, Matt, along with...
I'm Scott.
Hey, and I'm Ash.
All right, hey, Dragon Age is out today, so see you guys next week.
All right, later, it's
guys.
Been a good show. Talk to you
Bye.
Later.
It is going to be a short episode because I basically became a living, breathing veal for the past 2 days. And I haven't really done a whole lot, so you guys are going to hear about some Dragon Age. And that's about it. I think I have, the bottom of my bottom is even flatter than before.
So. Ha. Well, today is Tuesday, November the 18th, 2014. Today is the, the game-pocalypse, as I like to call it.
It is.
This is that point in the holiday season where pretty much we reach the critical mass with game releases. You know, so there have already been some, and there will likely be a couple more. But today is the day. The original Apocalypse Day was what, like, supposed to be last month, and then everything just moved to another day.
It was originally October 7th was Game Apocalypse, and now it is the 18th. What came out today? So Dragon Age Inquisition came out for every platform in existence.
And Far Cry 4.
Far Cry 4.
Far Cry came out too.
Apparently there was something that happened with Watch Dogs on the Wii U today.
Oh, really? I know Lego Batman 3 came out.
Lego?
And then Grand Theft Auto 5 for current gen.
Yes, and with the new first-person mode, which there's a big fervor on the internet because you can do these sex scenes in first person, and so people are standing very close to their televisions playing GTA 5.
Is it Xbox One and PS4?
It yes. is, yeah.
Man, PS4 is dominating those ads.
They do that, you know.
All the ads I see are Grand Theft Auto 5 out now on PS4.
Well, that's how it was.
Is it out on Xbox One?
When... Ash and I went to this theater event a couple of months ago before the consoles came out. Where was this? When was this?
This was E3? Yes, it was
E3. A while ago.
Okay,
it?
So we went to the theater event for the PlayStation 4 E3 event, and they basically announced Grand Theft Auto 5 as if it were a console exclusive. So that's not surprising.
Same with Destiny too. They had this big Destiny thing. They're like, Destiny coming to PlayStation. I'm like, it's coming to everything else too.
Yeah. Don't.
I've actually thought about Grand Theft Auto, not right now because I'm in the middle of a bunch of other games, but I may actually pick it up just due to Ash's, you know, rampant fervor for the game. So
I'm telling you, if anything, all of us should play the multiplayer because it is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It really is a lot of fun.
But there's also Dragon Age multiplayer.
There is that too. And that's going to be a time sink.
Let's do the rundown.
Should we do a rundown?
Yeah, let's do it. It's more of a crawl down.
Okay, so we're going to just do something slightly different. I think we'll still end up doing the things we normally do. But I think today's discussion is just going to be sort of topic based because we have a couple of things we want to talk about. And then we're going to get moving and go back to Dragon Age and Halo. Right?
Yeah.
Correct.
Indeed. Cool. So that's the plan for
shorter
today.
One this week, guys.
Yep. I'm sure everybody can sympathize because
we got it. We got stuff to do.
Yeah, exactly.
They're not even they're just like tuning in to see if we're gonna talk about Dragon Age and then they're tuning right out.
Hey, we're gonna talk about Dragon Age coming up after this.
We understand. It's okay. We're right there with you. So this short episode is brought to you by Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a wonderful subscription service. You pay a little bit of money every month, and they send you a box full of awesome stuff. This month, you have... this will come
it's
out. You'll
now.
Have one day, I think.
I
right?
think they're already shipping.
Sell out.
I think they're already shipping.
So I got my shipping notice.
I did, too. So you're not going to get November's.
Not going to get November's, which was full of like action-packed beat-em-up brawler stuff. There's an exclusive shirt and another minifig and a bunch
Halo
of other stuff,
stuff
coming
too.
In this one. Yeah. Was there Halo? I thought it was Street Fighter and Mega Man and some other things like that. But either way, doesn't matter.
All good stuff.
You should go to lootcrate.com/ratedNA and sign up with the code ratedNA and you get 10% off and you'll get stuff every month in the mail. And who doesn't like getting stuff in the mail? I think it's amazing. I love it. Unless it's a bill.
Unless it's a bill.
So please do that. Help out the podcast. And, you know, we'll keep doing this thing for you.
Thanks. This thing we do. Those Amiibo loot crates that I mentioned last episode are already sold out.
Already. There you go.
And it was basically like something like $155, but you get crates spread out pretty much over like a month or 2 months.
Oh, really? Wow.
So they're going to send you like a shitload of crates with, you end up getting 10 to 12 Amiibo figures and some other exclusives. I'm surprised. Wow. That's a lot of money, but I guess if you planned on buying all the Amiibos anyways, that would have been an option for that. So anyways, Loot Crate is doing all kinds of crazy stuff. So
they are. They're
keep
awesome
an eye
people.
On what they're doing. And if I'm assuming this Amiibo thing is going to go well, they'll probably do other things like that in the future. So expanding their empire beyond just the Loot Crate itself.
Seriously. Yeah.
So head on over, lootcrate.com/ratedNA. Code is ratedNA, and it's all one word. You get 10% off. And Ash, what are you
Hello.
Up to? Although I know. Why don't you just say what you're up to for everybody else?
So I've been playing a little bit of the Dragon Age Inquisition. Something really, before I do like a review in progress of the game, I did get a slightly early copy. It came a couple days before launch, which was awesome because I was able to play it pretty much all weekend. But the thing that was really amazing was I had already pre-downloaded the Deluxe Collector's Edition, so it was already preloaded on my Xbox One. I had the EA Early Access, so I went ahead and made my Inquisitor and was playing through my hours. And then the mail came the next day, and it was a physical copy of the game. Which I did like a little like nerdy dance of joy. It was like, popping and locking and like, shaking my moneymaker and all that fun stuff. And then I stuck the disc in and it stopped the timer on the EA Early Access.
Of course.
Which is so genius. I mean, like, I couldn't fathom that it all actually worked. So if the disc was in there, like, it didn't take your time away.
Technology.
The fact that it all worked perfectly was really, really pretty great. And also my save was, transferred over, and my save from Dragon Age Keep worked just fine. I did have some problems in the very beginning making my character, because I would make the character and then I would start playing and be like, oh, they don't look right. Same problem I had in Mass Effect, like it doesn't ever look exactly how it looks during character creation.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually re-rolled, I think, about 3 times till I got to the point where I was like pretty satisfied with how my character looked. But I'll talk at length about Dragon Age Inquisition. Short version is, it is a pretty impressive experience so far. It's everything I could really ever want in an RPG. And I think even if you aren't a fan of the series and you're just a fan of the fantasy genre, it is a really, really impressive fantasy game. So that's pretty much it. Still watching the 100, still watching some S.H.I.E.L.D., going to watch some S.H.I.E.L.D. tonight, eat some Black Bean Deli. That's
Ooh,
my plan.
Yeah.
That's my plan for the night.
That's awesome.
Let's go to Matthias Grundy.
Black Bean Deli, huh?
Black Bean Deli, man.
Yeah.
You bring some up here for me?
It's so good.
I will. I will gladly do that.
We need to, we'll FedEx you like a medianoche or something.
Well, you're coming down, so we can go there every day.
I am. Yeah.
Need nice all
long
the beans.
Winter visit. First of all, let me tell you guys how cold it is right now.
How
where
cold
I am.
Is it?
It hurts. It's 20s right now in New York.
Oi.
So it was like not this cold last night, and then I got up this morning, and it's like a blistery, painful cold. But this Florida boy bought his first ever winter coat. And it is the most amazing thing. You may think in Florida you've owned a winter coat. You have not owned a winter coat, let me promise
you. What exactly
you.
Constitutes a winter coat?
My coat is down-filled. It'll zip all the way up like to your chin, essentially, and then button over the zipper so that air can't get through there. It's got bands all around like your wrist and your waist so that air can't like get around up through your sleeves or your waist. And then the hood is like felt-lined. My pockets are felt-lined. And then when you pull the hood over, it stays. Like, it's secure. The thing's not blowing around or moving around.
It sounds like
around.
You bought, like, an anti-Ebola jacket.
It'll be, like, slightly waterproof, but not really. It's not, like, 100%, but, if it snows on you, it won't, like, immediately soak you. These are things that make a winter coat. And it is like, a joyous – it's like wearing a warm blanket to work
That's
every day.
That's nice.
It's amazing. So I did that. That was new. I've never – it's because, like – last time we lived up here in the winter, I just layered. I would just like, I had a bigger jacket that I thought was a winter coat, and I'd put it on, and then I'd wear like hoodies underneath it and stuff. I can wear a t-shirt under this jacket and walk out into 20 degree weather and I'm totally fine.
Nice.
So it's wondrous. But I actually did something really awesome and nerdy in a different way this weekend. I went to a football game in Washington, D.C. I went and did not get to meet up with Mylan. We tried to, but she was busy on the day that we had free, and then we were busy on the day she had free, so we didn't get to meet up. We went to see the Bucks play the Redskins.
And you mean the Washington professional football team?
They do a lot of things that are like weirdly uncomfortable there about Native Americans, and it's very weird. But anyways, they also have a hashtag, which is HTTR, which looks like hashtag hater.
Yeah, it really does.
But it's Hail to the Redskins, which I guess is like their old sing-along song that they have. I don't know.
Okay.
Interesting.
New experiences, guys. I've never been to the Redskins stadium before. Through a friend's parental figure, we got to go down on the field, and I was sending you guys pictures the whole time and like talking to you over our chat app, but it was unreal. It was like it was very like nerdy Matt being able to do something that he's never thought he would be able to do, which is stand like a foot from the Bucks and hang out on the sideline. So it was really, really cool.
That is cool.
We were joking because I said, these guys are gigantic. And Scott said, oh, yeah, like 6'5". And I wrote back, I said, 6'5 would be small. Like, these guys are humongous.
Yeah, I looked up the guy that you saw. He was 6'9".
6'9".
6'9".
It's not and even he's like, a human.
He's probably like 380 and just all muscle. Like, not an ounce of fat on this guy. Just 100% muscle, like 380 pounds, 6'9". He was a humongous guy. You know, saw everybody, McCoy, and took a picture of Lovie Smith on accident. He was coming out of the tunnel, and I was taking a picture of the tunnel, and it was, you know, Lovie Smith was standing there. And then the Bucks won.
And they won.
What the heck?
It wasn't even one of those, like, they barely won. They won. No. They won the game.
They definitively won this
game. In decisive fashion.
Maybe in a way, need to be on the sidelines all the time.
I know, right? In a way that in the third quarter, I started feeling uncomfortable cheering when the Bucks were doing that, because they were like sacking the quarterback like over and over and over again, intercepting the ball, you know, scoring touchdowns, and I'm like cheering every time it happens. And there was probably, you know, this is an underestimate. There was probably a couple thousand Bucks fans there, which was surprising. I didn't think there would be that many, but by the end of the game, by the fourth quarter, it was only Bucks fans essentially. There was like some straggling, you know, Washington fans hanging out, and then just a ton of Bucks fans that had all moved up towards the front. And we basically all walked out of the stadium together, all triumphant and crap. But it was really fun. It was an experience like no other. It was really awesome to be able to go down on the field. And thanks to our friend's dad for doing that.
That was so cool.
It was cool. I took a bunch of like panoramic shots of the field and stuff on my phone, and I took video of the Bucks running out of the tunnel for when they came out, and it was cool. It was really fun.
Nice.
But I've also been playing in the other sort of nerdy. I've been playing a ton of, I don't know, maybe a ton. No, I mean a ton until this weekend. I was out of town of Halo Master Chief Collection, and I apologize for the sleepy half description that I did on the spot in the last podcast of what the game was. I can't put into words how exhausted I was on Tuesday night while we were doing our podcast, but it is just Halo 1 through 4, and it comes with access to the Halo channel, which I think you can download now anyways, but it has a bunch of extras and behind-the-scenes stuff, and I've been playing through Combat Evolved, and I want to say maybe a quarter to a halfway through. The game's not – it's way shorter than I remembered it being when I was – originally playing it.
I feel like Halo 2 feels really long, so maybe that's the balance there.
I'm like excited to get to Halo 2 because everything I've read is that that's where they put all of their reimagining power into the game. So Halo 2 is supposedly just gorgeous and plays really like smooth, and the frame rate's great, and the, you know, res is great, and so I'm like excited to get to that level, and it'd be awesome if you guys picked it up and we could play multiplayer. But I know it won't happen, so I'll wait till we'll do Dragon Age multiplayer.
It'd have to be later down the line, you know.
I know, like when it's like $15.
I loved Halo 4. I would gladly play Halo 4 again.
Oh, I'm actually really it looks really good on the Xbox One. So I'm like, it's fun to play. It doesn't feel like playing a classic game. It feels like playing like, I don't know. It's weird. It doesn't feel like playing a modern game, but it, like, I'll compare it to this since we're going to talk about it a bunch. When I started Dragon Age on the 360, mm-hmm. and I was like, man, this game feels like a first gen or like 360 game from the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, which it does. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing against the game. It's still a great game. It's just, it feels like an older game. What they've done with the Halo stuff, it feels like an older game. It feels like a classic game, I guess is the best way to put it. But it doesn't play or look like a classic game at all. It plays very, like, it feels great. It feels
maybe
like
it's
a
like
modern day
an
shooter.
Old car with a new engine in it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, they kind of, you know, they threw some paint on it and they threw an engine in it and they were like, all right, this thing will drive for another 10 years. And I think it's almost like a testament to what Halo really was when it came out. Like, you forget how gigantic and ridiculous Halo was. Halo 1, Halo 2, all of them, really. But, like, Halo came out and kind of, like, solidified console shooting, right? I mean, I feel like it really was the game that came out. Was like, consoles are going to be great for shooters. Here's your example. It's Halo, you know? Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of others that came along with it, but Halo, I think, definitely was kind of one of the forebearers there. So it's awesome. I'm having a lot of fun playing that. And then I think that's about it. I DJ'd for 4 hours in the car because I couldn't drive from back and forth from Washington, D.C. It was fun.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Do you ever do that? Do you ever just, I guess we all probably usually drive, but...
Yeah,
you get to like just put the. I was like picking themes. Like the way home was female fronted bands, and I did like a whole like hour and a half of female fronted bands all the way through.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was cool. It was a good
time.
I
noticed. Speaking of female fronted bands, why do they always have one song on an album where like the fucking bassist is like, "I want to sing a song,"
right?
Every single one of them, and you're like, "Dude, no one cares about you."
Yeah,
every
like
album,
Maria.
Yeah. Seriously, like every one of those albums.
There's like a song on that Metric album too. It was like I don't think it was a bass player, but it was like a guest, and it's like I know the guest singer was popular, you know, popular artist.
It was Lou Reed, but that's okay.
Right. But it's like I didn't buy a Lou Reed album. I bought a Metric album, right? So
I know. I always like to compare it to that one Mates of State song where the guy sounds like Kermit the Frog when he kicks on. It's like my favorite line ever. I played Mates of State too. It was great. So Scott, what have you been doing?
Real quick on the music thing. Have you guys tried an app called Songza yet?
Yes, because a friend of mine was on the development team for a while.
Oh, wow. It's pretty cool. I like it. I was using Pandora before and it's different because it basically...
Songza with a Z.
Yeah, Songza. I like to call it Lady Songza.
Lady Songza Stark.
But what it does is that instead of you seeding a playlist with an artist that you like, it basically serves playlists to you based on like what's going on. So you open up the app and it'll go, it's Tuesday night. You know, it's a good time for, and then it gives you six options. So it's like working out or cleaning the house or eating dinner. And then you tap on one of those things and then it gives you some more options about the kind of music you want to listen to. And then it serves up a playlist based on those criteria, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Google Music just did a huge round of updates, and that's what I use on my phone, and that's one of them. So when I'm like at work, I can go, and it'll be like, there's like three cards at the top that'll say like, tunes to work out to, and tunes to work to, and blah, blah, and then you click that, and then it'll drive down further, and it'll say like, chill indie songs or something, and it's partly put together based on your preconceived like preferences, so it won't give you like country music if you have never liked country music on the music thing, but it's nice to not have to think about putting together playlists,
right?
You know, or like I want this artist but I really have to tailor it this way. It's just kind of like I'm working, I want it to be chill, and I want no vocals, and it'll do stuff like that.
That approach is a really great approach for discovery too.
I find
So anyways, I've been using that. I did not get Dragon Age early, so I decided to go into the old game pile, and I completed The Walking Dead Season 2.
Oh, man. I want to hear your thoughts.
Is it okay? Can I spoil it? Is this... No?
We'll type when he's done.
Okay.
I have to pull my headphone out.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we can do that because I edit, so it's fine.
Yeah. Pull it out.
Right. Matt, we'll let you know when you can come back.
I'm pulling it out.
Pull it out.
2, 1, pulled out.
Okay,
fucking,
so for our listeners...
Fucking depressing, isn't it?
Spoiler alert for all of our listeners. I'm going to talk about Walking Dead Season 2. I think, you know, like I saw that some of the reviews were sort of lukewarm for this game.
Yes.
And I understand why. And I think that the first thing that I will say is that I still think this game is really good. Like, it's really great. And I think that it still does a really good job of sort of like tugging at your emotions. And, you know, try as you might, you still find that you get angry or sad. You know, like the characters are not real, but you end up feeling emotions for these characters, right? So, you know, in this series, you play as Clementine. So Clementine is still kind of dealing with the loss of Lee. She gets sort of roped in with a new group of people, and then that group of people gets roped in with a different group of people, and there's kind of like this whole conspiracy kind of thing that unfolds. Not a conspiracy, but there's like sort of a deeper plot that starts in one place and kind of goes in a direction that you probably didn't expect it to go in.
This is like one of the things that, upon like reflecting on this game, like I really loved it, but I was thinking back and I'm like, wait a second. So you start off kind of on your own, and then you get taken into like one house, and then you get taken to the town, and then you leave the town and you kind of go on the road again. So you're like all over the place. And don't you go to like a fort or like a some sort of park or something at some point too?
Yeah. So the way the game kind of works is that you, like, I remember I played the first episode when it came out. And then I kind of waited, because in the first episode you kill a dog, or you basically have the option to kill a dog. And that's kind of like, that's where I draw the line in gaming, you know?
Oh yeah. That was the first episode, was the dog killing.
Yeah. I don't like games where you have to hunt animals. I don't like, especially dogs. Like, I have a dog, I love dogs. Like, anything that where it's like you have to harm animals in that way. Like, I didn't like hunting in Assassin's Creed 3 for that reason, like all of this stuff, right? So
yeah, well, it's acceptable. You don't want to brutalize animals. Yeah.
So anyways, I sort of put that on the back burner for a while. And then, you know, what ends up happening is that you get in with this crew and you don't know what's going on with this crew. And you come to find out that this crew escaped from this weird, like, this weird camp that basically was being run out of like a Home Depot hardware store.
Yeah, yeah.
And this guy basically rules this Home Depot camp with an iron fist. And we find out that the group that Clementine originally gets in with escaped from that Home Depot fortress,
which is a terrible place in reality, right? The Home Depot. So I would right. I would want to escape as well.
Like, this fort reminds me of, I've talked about this show many times, but there was a show on Discovery Channel, or the Science Channel, like a while ago, that was supposed to be like a faux reality show about what happens after the apocalypse and how you survive by like having scientists create things and filter water and do stuff like that. But that's basically what their camp was like, but ruled by a tyrant, you know? So the guy is obviously a bad guy. He's like a total dickhead. There's like very little redeeming qualities about him. And
great voice work by Michael Madsen from Reservoir Dogs, though.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, he was great.
And I guess the spoiler part is that you grow up, you know, you hate this guy so much that basically your crew undertakes sort of like the plot to Toy Soldiers. You kind of conspire to sneak around this camp to like steal things and kind of like sow seeds of dissent, and then ultimately hatch a plot to escape again, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into a situation where at the end of this storyline, you can basically choose to kill this guy or walk away, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not only do you have the option to kill this guy or walk away, you have the option to watch him brutally killed.
Yes. You know?
And I think...
But he's done some pretty terrible things at this point. Like, by the time you get to the point in the game, the guy is pretty much, you know, he's of the governor level of assholeness.
Yeah,
he
is a straight-up asshole, so... but it's just weird that there is a scene in the game where, like, as Clementine, like the person that's doing the beating, who we'll get to in a second, the person that's doing the beating of this man to kill him, is like, Clementine, you don't want to see this. And you can go like, no, I want to stay and watch this. And it's like, Clementine, I think maybe one of the problems with this game is that when you play Walking Dead season one, I feel like I was very, you're fresh. You don't really know what's happening in this game, right? And you kind of try to, you're like, oh no, I need to make everybody happy. And like, what if this person's mad at me? And we need to save everybody and like share and hug and everything.
And then you realize that's never going to fucking happen in these games.
So I think I call it like the hardening, because I feel like when I played Walking Dead season two, like I was ruthless as well, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, but I think the game, because the characters are changing so much, everyone is becoming a little bit more ruthless, you know, and the world that the characters inhabit is so brutal and so, you know, really unforgiving that Clementine's forced to make some really impossible decisions in which there are no positive outcomes. Like, you know, some of the things she has to do, especially near the end, which I hope you address, but some of the decisions she has to make are just like, well, geez, there is no happy ending. There is no good decision. Like,
yeah,
we're fucked no matter what, which is it's so draining that is the reality of the series, but it really is. And
yeah.
It's not bad. It's just like, wow, like I'm going to feel like someone punched me in the balls after I finished playing this game. You know?
Well, I mean, the thing for me was that I kind of started to become numb to it. And I think that was maybe part of the problem for me. So like in episode one, you're given a choice to save one person or another. And I was like, that guy's younger. I'm saving him. You know, like it was not a decision. I was just like, I'm saving him. The other guy like looks like he's injured. I'm leaving him to die. Like the end of story, right? So
yeah.
Anyways, the thing that sort of happens around episode two or three is that Kenny shows up again.
Yes, I love that scene though. By the way,
right? But
I was a big fan of Kenny.
Okay, I don't like Kenny.
Okay.
So I don't like Kenny as a character, like in an emotional way, which is awesome because I don't like him, so he's a good character.
Yeah.
But I don't like Kenny as a plot device because Kenny sort of drives the plot in both games because he goes through these like almost like unrealistic periods of being your friend and then just doing something completely like
fucked up. Yeah.
Yeah. You think you're like, Kenny, is everything okay? And you spend all this time in the game. You're like, Kenny, let's be friends. Remember when we did this with Lee and then Lee did that and we were buddies and then we hugged it out and he's like, yeah, yeah, you're right. Okay, cool. Then he turns around and like goes inside of a building, and then punches a woman in the face. And you're like, what? We just had a conversation. Like, what is the problem, man?
Yeah. Well, it's funny that you said that because I'm just going to jump to the very end.
But, yes.
I was a big Kenny fan and I thought it was great that they brought him back. That was probably my favorite scene in season two was Kenny's return. And then, like you said, a lot of the things he does throughout the course of the game are so erratic and so fucking crazy. And I kept supporting him. And then finally at the end, like there was a moment where you, and this is spoiler filled, but you have to choose between Kenny and what was her name?
I don't remember the other character's name.
Oh shit. I'm an idiot for forgetting it, but you have to choose between Kenny and like your new friend from season two, whose name escapes me. And I let Kenny die.
Oh, I hesitated not one second. It was like, turn your head or kill Kenny. And I was like, I'm killing Kenny. Goodbye. Like, I killed him so he doesn't show up in season three. Like, honestly, like, I'm sick of Kenny.
Yeah. I mean, it was a shame because I kind of felt like he was like the last remnant of Clementine's old crew and her old, you know, relationship with Lee. And he was there to witness all of that with her. But at the same time, like, you know, the whole thing at the end of season two was he was losing his mind because, you know, this baby was missing in the snow and, you know, he was willing to murder another human being for, you know, losing this child.
Right.
And
I also knew that the child was not in danger.
I did too. They're not, I don't think they've gotten to the point where they're going to tear up
babies in video games. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they've gotten, I mean, kids they've gotten rid of in The Walking Dead, but,
Sarah. Oh my God. Come on.
Oh yeah,
you do everything you can to help her, right? And then what does she do? She just falls down and dies. Like that's
that,
it. She falls and dies.
That bummed me out too.
It didn't bum me out. I was just like, man, all this effort was wasted. But I guess that works. That's when the game works, you know.
Yeah, that is. And there was also your friend with the machete. What's his name?
Oh, I don't remember his name.
I'm brain farting. Sorry,
like Luke or something.
Luke. Yeah. Luke in the ice, falling through the ice, was a really, really tragic scene for me because I like Luke and I was like, that was just really the worst way for a character to go, like sucked into this icy abyss. At least that's how it happened for me. So
yeah, I didn't try to save him. I mean, in my opinion, I did because I shot at the zombies, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't like run out to the ice because I knew that I was going to fall in and then I fell in anyway. So
I did run into the ice and I fell in. So
and then the girl, like the girl who's like supposed to be my buddy is like, oh no, it's the other woman. The other one was like, you didn't do enough to save him. And I was like, I was shooting at the zombies. And like, I was trying to keep, you know, let him get out of the ice. Cause if I ran over there, the ice would have broke. Like, don't give me that shit. You know, yeah, like, come on.
I hear you.
So anyway,
well, we just kind of reviewed the whole game. So
yeah, I mean, we spoiled it and it's been out for a while, but it's, you know, like I like it. I'm glad that I won't have to see Kenny again. Like, I don't think he can come back again. Cause I've shot him many times.
Yeah.
You know, and I did, you know, I felt for him, like he got beat up a lot. Like he's, maybe you could say his character was misunderstood or he led a tragic life or something. But like, to me, having that character back in the game for that purpose was sort of a turnoff. Like if he just would have come back and been part of the crew, like that would have been fine. But I feel like he came back to do exactly the same like plot mechanics as he did in the first game.
Yeah, he's the guy that rocks the boat, you know?
But anyways, like, so that's, I mean, that was my experience with The Walking Dead season 2. I liked it, cool. But I hope, you know, like there definitely seems like they're getting ready for a season 3 and I'm excited to see something new. So that's,
yeah, me too.
Yeah, so
me too.
Let's
you want to summon Matt?
Bring Matt back from the cone of silence.
Come back. See if this works.
Matt is taking off the cone of silence.
Mecha licka hi, mecha hiney ho.
He's removing his noise canceling headphones.
Mecha licka hi, mecha shiny ho.
Let's talk about the game Pocalypse.
Goompocalypse.
Okay. Wait, did you talk about the other thing too already, or are we just skipping around?
No,
okay.
I'm going to cleverly segue into that.
You're free-falling.
Yep.
All right.
We're freestyling today. So
Game Pocalypse now.
So we talked a little about a game, you know, the game Pocalypse. We have Dragon Age out today, Far Cry, Grand Theft Auto 5, something going on with Watch Dogs for Wii U, but Assassin's Creed Unity... Still not really off the ground yet, or kind of sort of off the ground, or whatever.
Yes.
So here we are a week later. They've established a website to track all of the issues that have been reported. And I love the way, first of all, I love the way support tracking goes, because it's like, we are tracking all the issues that you say that you're having in the game. It's not like, you know, these are issues with our game. We are trying to fix them. It's like, you say that you're having a problem with... you know, your character getting stuck in hay bales. So we'll take a look at it, right? Anyways.
so, I love when Scott gets upset.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like the language that is so not not taking human responsibility for the problems in the game, but that's fine. So they have now released, they're like sort of on this weird like patching schedule. They've released patch 1 and now patch 2 has been released. That is supposed to clear up some more game-breaking bugs. And then patch 3, supposedly, is going to be sort of the bigger one that hopefully resolves some of the issues like frame rate and connection problems and multiplayer-type issues.
Yeah.
Which is super weird. We were talking a little bit before the show that, you know, the game aside, I've also heard from a couple of people who have been playing the game, enjoying it, not really having any problems. But
right.
The game aside, there are also two sort of infrastructure pieces that I feel like personally are very important to the Assassin's Creed experience. And that is, the first one being is Assassin's Creed Initiates, which is a companion website that is used to track your progress basically across every Assassin's Creed game with the exception of the first one. And so in this app, you can see like what your synchronization percentage is across the game, how you're doing in multiplayer. The website also has sort of challenges that are external to the game itself that you can complete through this website. And then by participating in the website, you can gain levels, unlock badges, and all this other gamification shit. And you can sort of like have all of these stats aggregated in this website. So they took the website down months ago, even though it had been running for a long time. And they launched it again on the day that Unity launched. And of course it doesn't work, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. They say that all of the progress that you've made, all of your involvement with the site prior to it being taken down, is still in the back end, but is not in the front end yet. And in my opinion, that's still a game breaker for me to play Unity, because I like tracking my progress through the website. Yeah. The other piece is...
Well, but they're not saying they're not tracking it, right? They're just saying that they aren't showing it yet.
Right, they're not showing it, but if there are challenges to complete that are external to the game, like there were in Black Flag, for example, I don't know what those are and I can't do them, right? Okay. So you kind of don't get that extra experience. And when I say experience, I don't mean like XP. I mean like the experience of using the website to do all that. The other piece is the Assassin's Creed Unity Companion app, which is like a tablet app or something. And apparently, as the story goes, you need this app to unlock some of the chests that are in the game, right? So I guess it is sort of like a game unto itself, but also has some components that interact with your, you know, console game, as it were. So I don't know what the status of that is, but I've seen that people have been having problems with it. They've been patching to fix that. And then I think the third piece is Uplay in general, where, you know, when you connect your Ubisoft games through Uplay, you can unlock actions, which then you can get points and you redeem those points for rewards in game. And man, you know, talk about microtransactions. They sort of gone off the deep end in this game with microtransactions that you see in game where you can purchase this currency to advance faster. They're also doing some really weird stuff in Uplay where you can unlock like DLC or get temporary boosts in game. And it used to just be stuff like get an extra sword, get an extra skin, unlock a desktop wallpaper. Yeah. And basically like the points that you could earn by playing the game were enough points to unlock all of the rewards associated with that game. That is not the case anymore.
That like, sucks.
You can unlock a piece of DLC for like 500 Uplay units, man. And you'll probably get 100 from playing this game.
Oh, that's horrible. Right. Why did they do that?
Right. I have no idea. So I don't know if they're going to start selling Uplay credits.
Monetizing it?
Yeah. Mm. But if you have a chance, go look at the Uplay reward list for Assassin's Creed Unity. It is out of control.
That's too bad because I would always buy those. Those are nice little perks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, like a little sword or like a, you know, pouch to carry more smoke bombs or something. Yeah. But
I like the pooch.
I mean, I haven't started playing the game in my, you know, in defense of the game. I've not started playing yet because I want all these things to be fixed before I start playing. But
yeah.
I looked at that Uplay list and I couldn't make any sense of it. So hopefully other people out there are still having fun with this game despite all these technological things that are tied into it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Well, I mean, you know, I'm in the same camp. I am in possession of this game, but I haven't started playing it. Well, for a couple reasons, but I'm going to wait until everything's fixed up, and I'm sure it will be. You know, I've had a positive experience with most of the Assassin's Creed games, so I think this one will still be a lot of fun. I just kind of, you know, I worry that it might be getting a little rushed and tired at this point.
That's what I was going to say.
Do you think two games a year? Yeah.
Do you think they're just finally showing fatigue from the amount of output that they've had to do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still question them putting Rogue out in the same day. You know? Right.
Well, apparently Rogue is a very short game from what people say. The campaign is short.
Okay.
And with Unity, you know, sort of the original opinion about that game was that, you know, whatever game follows this on this engine, like it's almost as if the engine for Unity was like, let's see what works and we'll fix it in the next one, you know, like that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
Who the hell knows? But I mean, like, I, you know, like you said, Ash, I still like this game. I enjoy playing them, even though they come out two games a year now. But I don't know, man. Like, I hope they can get it together because I really like this game. I had a really great time playing it at PAX, you know, when we went into the room.
Yep.
With Leslie Ford Toy. And I thought that was an awesome multiplayer experience. So hopefully we'll get to do that someday.
Yeah, I think we'll do that for sure. Yeah.
There you go.
Cool.
I added a last-minute news edition, guys.
Let's hear
it.
Emojis.
What about them?
Is that the whole news story?
No, they put they're putting 37 new emoji characters in for approval.
Nice.
But I just wanted, most of them are just, you know, like things, but they listed them by like categories, so it's like, you know, faces, hands, and zodiac symbols, symbols of religious significance. But then my favorite one is most popularly requested emojis.
Oh, man. What are they?
You guys ready for this?
Yeah, yep. Let's hear it.
Hot dog.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Taco.
Oh.
Yep. Burrito.
Mm-hmm.
Bottle with popping cork.
Okay.
Popcorn.
Uh-huh.
Turkey.
Okay.
Which I'm surprised. Is there no turkey on there? Or do they mean, like,
like the animal
turkey or something. Yeah, turkey, maybe the animal. Cheese wedge.
Okay.
And unicorn face.
What?
Oh, all right.
I know I'm going to get a lot of use out of taco and hot dog. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I really think conversations with my wife will be shortened with all the new food emojis.
Taco. Oh, okay.
Oh, that's what you meant. Yeah, Scott. What? You just wandered into territory.
No, I just meant like, just instead of going like Chipotle, I could just go burrito, and then she'll go, yep.
So you won't go hot dog question mark, and she will reply with taco exclamation point.
No, then, oh, okay. not one of those conversations.
With bottle with popping cork.
Yikes.
Hey.
Hey, you guys excited then? You want to talk about burritos?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Well, now I want a burrito.
I know, me too.
Do we have, is Chipotle a sponsor of this podcast?
We can work on that.
Okay.
We can work on that.
Let's get on that.
Get them pinto beans. How about if just the pinto beans support the podcast?
What?
I know, right?
This episode is brought to you by Chipotle pinto beans.
You know what the great thing about the pinto beans is they're not vegetarian. And every time you order like what is seemingly a vegetarian dish, and then you ask for pinto beans, they're like, they have bacon in them. And I'm like, I know. Get them on there.
Yeah, do it.
I heard a stand-up comedian recently do like a bit about the guacamole, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
where it's like every time you get guacamole, they're like, that's going to be like $1.25 extra. And you're like, yeah, that's fine. Like, as if like everyone else was like, no.
Have you guys tried Chipotle hacking yet?
What is that?
That's where you can like essentially make up your own meals with whatever the components are that are sitting there.
Okay, give me an example.
I heard something about quesadillas or something, right?
Yeah, you can order a quesadilla, you can order nachos, like, and supposedly they'll make them for you. This is the thing. Like, you can say like, I want nacho chips with pinto beans and lettuce, sour cream, cheese, and hot sauce, and they'll be like, okay, and they'll make it for you and then charge you something, I guess.
I've heard that like you can get your burrito wrapped in a quesadilla.
What?
Well, yeah, because you can make quesadillas too, though. Like, that's the thing.
Right, but like if you want to do like a almost like a gordita style where it's like you have an outer layer.
Awesome. Like a cheese quesadilla wrapped around burrito filling.
I'm sure they love that. You're the asshole that comes in and is like, give me burrito-dilla.
You get a burrito and then you wrap another tortilla around it with cheese.
Fuck you, buddy.
I'm just saying, I've heard this exists. I've never done it personally. If anybody out there has done this, I want to know what you ordered from Chipotle when you hacked their menu.
This should be like our nerd appropriate question of the week is tell us
what you're
a
little late for that.
If you have an awkward Chipotle dish, what is it?
All right.
Okay.
Let's take a break and come back.
All right.
Let's talk about, I'm going to assume DAI stands for Dogs After Italians.
Yes.
Yes.
There is no coming back from that.
Hi, I'm writer and nerd Patrick Weeks, and you are listening to Rated NA at nerdappropriate.com.
All right, we are here to talk about the Dogs Attack Italians.
Dogs Attack Italians, that's much better. I said after. Dogs Attack Italians. This is a simulator, much like Goat Simulator, I assume, where you play a dog in Italy attacking Italians.
Precisely. It is precisely that.
And you earn points.
That's the third Assassin's Creed game that's coming out this year.
Oh. Okay, so let's talk about Dragon Age Inquisition. This is going to be an ongoing review probably for the next 6 months. So, listeners,
so you beat it though, right?
No, not even close. I haven't even scratched the surface of this game, which is kind of crazy. So I did get it, I think, at this point, a little less than a week ago. I think I got it on Wednesday of last week. Instantly I was shocked at how in-depth the character creation process was. Out of curiosity, Scott, what character did you end up making?
I made a female human dual-wield rogue.
Ooh, very nice.
And I basically modeled her after Trouble from Grimm.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I actually saw a screen of your character. I should have remembered that. But, so I did a human female as well. And I did a two-handed warrior, but now I have respect, and I am sword and shield. So I am sword and shield warrior.
P.S., on the topic of character creation, and yes. I assume that you and I chose our gender basically so that we could hear the lovely tones of Alex Wilton Regan, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I picked Alex as well, who, by the way, might be on the show next week.
Hey.
For our listeners, stay tuned. We
Easter
don't
egg, yeah.
We're playing on the podcast.
We're working it out. We're working it out. So you might hear that one next week. But so I picked that, and, you know, I guess how I'm going to break down this review in progress is just kind of tell the audience, like, what I've experienced thus far and some of the cool stuff. And it's going to be, at this point, completely spoiler-free. I guess the easiest way to start is to talk a little bit about the story.
You spent all of your time in multiplayer, right?
All I did with multiplayer is I bought a multiplayer pack.
you get one for free. You don't need to buy one.
I know, but I bought one anyway.
Oh, my God. And so it begins. Spectre packs.
I just wanted to try it one time. Just one time. Yeah, I can't wait to play multiplayer, actually. I'm super excited. In terms of the story is absolutely massive. It takes place 10 years after Dragon Age Origins. So a lot has happened. For those of you who are lore fiends, I'm not going to get into the lore quite yet. So we'll do a full story breakdown episode at some point. But just know that there's a whole lot at stake. The war between the mages and the Templars is sort of raging out of control. And the Chantry has lost control over all the mage circles. And the Templar have kind of gone rogue, and things are terrible. Basically, the world is already at war, and then when things are at their worst, there's a tear in the sky, and demons start pouring out of the tear in the sky. And you play this character known as the Inquisitor, who becomes known as the Inquisitor, who has the ability, and the only one in all of Thedas that has the ability to close the rips in the sky. So you have this task of going around the world and closing these tears in the sky, but also, you know, you have to kind of choose the type of the ruler that you're going to be, because eventually you do go on to lead the Inquisition, which is the coolest thing I think I've done in a game in a long time, because you're building an army, and you're filling the army with people that you encounter and with other characters from the older games. And you know, it's just, it feels at its core like just an epic experience. Nothing feels rushed. You can take your time and walk around and have like literally countless conversations with people and just explore this just insanely massive, massive world that's populated with, you know, amazing scenery and really interesting characters. And the thing I think that is also, I should tell listeners, although most of our listeners have likely at least played a little bit of the Dragon Age games.
At least 6 hours of it, right?
Yeah, I don't think that you have to be like a lore expert or have even played the other Dragon Age games to play Inquisition. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of stuff that you will not understand. There'll be a lot of codex reading about like all the different factions and religions and things like that. However, I do think it's accessible for people that have never played it before that just want a really, you know, kick-ass RPG.
You said it's everything that you want out of an RPG. I'm pretty sure it's probably everything that you would want out of a puzzle platformer too, because you hate puzzle platformers, and I'm sure Dragon Age gives you everything you need from that genre.
There is jumping now, actually.
Exactly.
For the very first time, I can jump around and climb on top of stuff. And I actually, spoiler, by jumping on top of strange buildings, I found a gigantic shield that fits on my back that looks like a wheel of cheese with a slice cut out of it. So there you go.
Oh, wow. So there are things to be done.
There are things to platform and find in the game. Really quickly, I'm just going to kind of talk about exploration for a minute and how the game is set up. It is, I would argue, comparable in size to Skyrim. So it is absolutely massive. But the good news is it's broken into zones in a similar way that like MMOs are broken into zones. So the first zone that you start out in is the Highlands, and you could probably spend, you know, a good 10 hours in the Highlands exploring and finishing quests and so on and so forth. And the thing that's really awesome is even as you clear out a zone, you may finish a quest in one zone that opens up another quest in an old zone. But fast travel is incredibly efficient, and you can fast travel to any number of hot spots that you discover on the map. So it makes traveling between zones very, very painless. So there's not a lot of you know, backtracking and wandering. You can kind of zip around, which is very, very welcome.
Oh, and P.S., something amazing that they did on the map is that they show you where you've gone on the map.
Yes, it's awesome. So you, whenever you load into a zone and you walk around and you open up the map and it shows like a line showing your the path that you've taken.
It's like a little trail so you don't get lost.
Yeah, it's like a sweet little trail of breadcrumbs so you can kind of head in new directions if you want to. So the maps are, you know, the quality, or I guess the type, each zone has its own unique personality is essentially what I'm trying to say. So the highlands feel very much like, you know, summertime or springtime in like Montana. So it's very hilly, a lot of trees. And then you go to, you know, you go to the, I can't remember the name of the zone after it. So my apologies, but it is completely like, you know, like a really dark and stormy forest that's on the beach with like a you know, giant cliffs surrounding you. So I mean, everyone feels like a brand new experience, and they really are pretty breathtaking to just look at. I kind of found myself when I'm getting into new zones, I just like, while I have access to a horse, I just kind of walk everywhere for a while, and I don't even run. I just kind of like stroll and like look around, kind of get my bearings, because it is that cool of an environment to just kind of wander through. So that is, you know, something that I'm really impressed with. They did an amazing job with the environments, and each one, you know, does have this very unique feel to it. The thing that I guess above all else really impressed me are the number of systems in this game, and how much depth the game really has. I was probably 15 hours in before I even unlocked the town. So like the town, you end up getting a place called Skyhold, and Skyhold is fully upgradable. You can you know, change how the walls look, you can change the tapestries, you can change this throne that you sit in. You actually sit and conduct trials for people that you capture that you can hold in like a dungeon, and you can determine their fate. You can, inside of Skyhold, you can craft items, and you can name items, and you can build them out of a variety of different materials, which changes how they look, and you can add attachments and runes, and you know, build helmets and armor. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, there's honestly, I'm just kind of going crazy here, because it's kind of, when I get in the game, it's like, oh my god, there's like a billion different things that I can do, and all of them are actually pretty fun.
Sounds like you can just kind of make it whatever you want it to be, right?
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can get in and like, I'm just going to collect, you know, it's, in a lot of ways it's very MMO like. You're like, I'm just going to go collect some, you know, go explore and collect some materials and see what I find. So you can like, I want to go, you know, get some onyx. And so you're like, you'll get on your horse and ride around a zone for a while collecting some onyx, and you might encounter a couple quests along the way, or like a locked door you couldn't get into before that has some like a dungeon inside of it, and all of a sudden you're, you know, because there's so much all the time, like you're constantly being distracted by new and exciting things. You're like, oh, I need to get back, and you know, I was supposed to be looking for onyx, and here I am now in this cave, you know. But that's the beautiful thing about it, is that it is, you know, it is a living, breathing fantasy world that you are a part of. So what I had to start doing after like literally about 15 hours of the game is I had to be like, okay, I'm going to stay in the Hinterlands. I'm going to do everything in the Hinterlands there is to do. I'm not going to get distracted. I'm not going to go on any side quests. I'm just going to like purge the Hinterlands and then move on to the next area, because I don't want to miss anything, you know. And it's very easy to miss stuff because there is so much.
But I mean, you can always go back, right? You don't have to do it all.
No, exactly. You can go back. You can go back, which is great.
Yeah.
The thing I touched on just for a second that I'll talk about briefly is the war table. So you end up having like a primary council of advisors as the Inquisitor, and you have Josephine and Leliana and Cullen, who are there to kind of, one is your diplomat, one is your sort of your spy mistress, and Cullen is your you know, sort of the leader of the warriors. So he's sort of like your master at arms, or, you know, knight captain, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually command them to move Inquisition assets around the maps. And so what will happen is you'll pull up the war table and it'll be like, oh, there's a disturbance in the north. There's someone that's upset with something that you did. And you have three options. Do you send the diplomat? Do you send your spies and your assassins? Or do you send like the army in? And each one can actually yield a different reward.
It kind of reminds me of the Brotherhood missions.
It is like the Brotherhood missions, right. But the thing with the Brotherhood missions is I never really felt as though I was like justly rewarded for doing those. I'd maybe get experience or something like that, but I never really felt like anything was really happening. With these, sometimes it'll open up actual like quests that you can go on, and it sometimes you'll like locate. Like I just located a very rare mage staff from sending people out on a mission.
That's cool.
Doing the correct thing. So you do get rewards. You do get unlockable stuff. You can if you don't feel like harvesting like ore or anything like that, you can actually send members of the Inquisition to go do that for you, and then you can go out and run and kill stuff, and then it'll be
fantastic.
Like, oh, your people are reporting back. They found, 20 onyx, and you're like, oh, cool, thank you. Now I have 20 onyx. So there's a little bit of micromanaging with the Inquisition assets, but it's actually very fun. They did a good job. It's very, it's very intuitive. It all makes sense. And so the war table is just a blast to use because you can use it as you are going out and doing other things. So and it never feels – even after, over 20 hours of gameplay, I'm never like pissed that I have to go to the war table and like send somebody to do something. I'm always like, oh, cool, what's going on now? Because, you're in the middle of this world that's in conflict. And I think it's really cool to actually be able to, move the little pieces around on the map and see like, hey, where am I gonna send my spies? So on and so forth. Because this is a review in progress, there's a whole lot to do. But the thing I really wanted to touch on also is the brilliance of the writing. Already, 20 hours in, I haven't really gotten too far into the main story, but there are so many really, truly, genuinely beautiful character moments in this game so far that have made me laugh and made me really, really love characters that I did not think I was going to like. I kind of went in saying, oh, like this guy looks like a, he's not someone I'll ever want in my party. Mm. And then I'll bring him out, with me just to kind of test them out, and slowly like things the character says and maybe some of their side quests will really make me really fall in love with them. At this point, I have all the party members at this point. Of all the party members, there's probably only one at this point that I'm kind of like iffy on, and the rest are absolutely like I love them, and like I can't decide who I want to bring out with me all the time because they're all so great, So all very well written. Alex Wilton-Regan does a phenomenal job as the Inquisitor.
She's so classy. She says words like, "Issue."
Oh, I know. Everything is so well done, and you can tell she had, she had a lot of fun with this role. There's a lot of really funny dialogue that she delivers very well, and it's going to be hard for me not to, not to play as her, but in my next playthrough, but... Mm-hmm. Do it. So for our listeners, we are by no means done with our Dragon Age Inquisition coverage. We'll probably start talking a little bit more about plot as you guys get to play through the game a little bit more. I do have to say I killed my first dragon last night, and it was a really, really epic experience. It took probably about 20 minutes to a half an hour to kill it.
Sweet.
So it was really a ton of fun. And the rewards for killing dragons, they were not kidding. You get some really, really phenomenal, cool stuff. So
I can't wait to start talking about multiplayer.
Oh, yes. We'll do that soon.
I just
can't wait for the weeks and weeks of coverage that we do on Dragon Age.
Oh, Matt's super stoked.
I know.
We're going to have to give Matt like a Master Chief corner.
I know.
What was that?
We're going to have to give you a Master Chief corner.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Mom. Hey, but guess what? The multiplayer is still good.
It is.
It's still good, everybody.
Cool. Well, is this it? Are we done?
I think we did it.
We did the show. So
I think it's time to get back to the
console this week. We've all been like busier than normal. We got stuff a brewing. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to our short episode 179.
You might find that this is surprisingly long.
Ah, that's what she said, my friend.
What? The end of that sentence.
It might be longer than you think.
My friend?
In reference to the length of the episode?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
So this was episode 179 of the Classy Rated NA podcast. As always, you can email us directly, and that is Matt, Scott, and Ash at nerdappropriate.com. You can follow us on Twitter, and that's at nerdappropriate. You can go to our Facebook page, and that is /nerdappropriate on Facebook. And you can send us all sorts of fun stuff on there as well. And next week we may have a guest. We may not. We will let you guys know when we know. But thanks again so much, guys. And for those of you guys who are signing up for Loot Crate, thank you. You are buying our magical Chipotle hybrid Frankenstein burritos. Thank you.
For sure. You ready?
Let's do it.
Cool, let's go.
Like go-go?
Yeah, like wake me up before you go-go.
I'll wake you up before I go-go.
All right.